Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions.
All right, game time decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Gable Morenzi. I think we're on. We might be. I don't know.
Testing.
I guess people on Twitter will let me know.
That's a good point.
Yeah. As our first show of the new year, off to a great start. I guess if anything, at least we're consistent around here. What was it that I was saying until last week, last show, Cam?
In the new year, we're going to have things a little tighter ship. You know, we're going to get that echo out of there. And, it's going to be a real smooth transition.
Yeah, that was what you said. Happy New Year. Said,
we expect better. we expect big things, better things, and less issues in 2019. Evidently, we were wrong. Wrong on that. We're off and running. Right now, maybe. I don't know. Like I said, we'll find out in a couple minutes when people start.
Yeah, I see a tweet. Spenny Max is all good now, ready to go, Gabe and Cam. So that's their first one back there. I think it's all good now. Smooth sailing, Gabe. Get on that surfboard. Yeah, we're back.
Twitter needs to let us know if we're on the air. Twitter needs to do research for us. Like, they're pretty much our interns and our like staff researchers. We're running quite the operation, Cam.
Well, Jesse Lapine's pretty good with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he's a professional photoshopper.
Exactly.
It's a real team effort.
It sure is, buddy.
It's hard for us to like rip the NCAA when all these people are doing everything for us too.
Very good. Very, very good point.
They're like college athletes. They're getting to work, but I mean, if you look, our main man Jesse, like he promotes the show before I do even every day.
Yeah, he's solid.
He's got the tweet. He knows who the guests are. He's on top of things.
Yeah, he should be on payroll. Yeah, the guy's amazing, Gabe. How are things going? Yeah. Happy New Year, buddy. We haven't talked in a while. How are things? How was Vancouver? And back in the saddle again. And we got big news for Friday night, right, friend? It's going to be a wicked night off the chain.
Yeah, that's right. The news that Cam Stewart will be coming to New York City this Friday. We'll be with us for the 17th anniversary at the Pig and Parrot. We'll be broadcasting live Friday night. But we'll also be doing game time decisions from Studio 34 in Manhattan. The party just got raised up a notch, Cam. We look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Gabe, I thought about it. It's now or never, right? You know what I mean? Like, you've been talking about going to New York, and then I'm thinking about it. I go, you know what? This is the weekend. You know, the indoor soccer stuff, whatever. I told the owner, it's like, you know, I can't be the voice guy anyway because I can't go to every game. So you might as well, as an ambassador, it's time for the ambassador to hit the New York City. We got horse race. We got playoff football. We got the guys. We got Clam Chowder. Hopefully he's going to get there. And, yeah, you said it, Marantz. We know what a party. We're a little bit older now, but I have a feeling it's going to be old school, off the chain. It's going to be great to meet everybody, too. Get to see Yang in person and the fantasy exec and your boy Riggs and everybody. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Corey Parson, the fantasy exec. Michelle Serpico. Nice. Clam Chowder. Clam Chowder's actually coming down. It's going to be quite the crew that we've got being put together here on Friday night. And, the Pig and Parrot is 77 Hudson Street in Hoboken, New Jersey. So if you're in the area, you're invited to come by. It's a great spot. Michelle Serpico and her crew are going to be there. Corey Parson, Cardano's coming down. We got Clam Chowder, a couple other locals. Our boy Riggs going to be in the house. Buckeye Bob, Ohio State fan, is going to be throwing it down. So it's going to be quite the crew on Friday night.
No, it's going to be awesome, Renzi. Hey, and the thing about this, too, we got the party Drew on Friday. Drusilla, we got
Chowder.
Football. We got football on Saturday. Like, you can't ask for a better weekend. That's what I thought. I go, this is the weekend to do it. If we're going to do it, this is the weekend to do it. Your anniversary special, the games, perfect. Couldn't be better time. Got to go this weekend.
I don't know if you're aware, though. Like, on Sunday, we're doing regularly scheduled programming.
Are we? Oh, okay. Yeah. I have no idea. I haven't received. I talked to those guys at the end. I honestly thought the football thing was done after Fantasy Week 16. Like, you know what I mean? So I didn't know that. So Galena and those guys. Okay, well, I guess if I'm still, I'm in town, I'll go to studio and do it, I guess. Like,
you know, basically, that's the deal. I don't know. Maybe you could do it earlier. That's like me. I know me and Corey and crew are going to be on, like, from, leading up to the game. The Sunday afternoon game, and we're going to be on during the game, and then we were going to pass it over to you guys. From what my understanding was. So that'd be kind of awkward, you sitting in the studio alone after. But Galena's going to be there, and Bovana as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
could be a full house, but we'll see how it plays out. Cam was going to surprise us, but hard to keep a surprise. And
yeah, what am I going to
come in with the shows and everything, right?
That's kind of what I was saying. Like, I'm surprised I show up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I want to make
you
sure
pulled it
everything.
Off, though. You could have just told Cardano not to tell me.
Yeah, hey, I thought it'd be just better to tell you.
I would have been sitting in the studio on Friday, there drinking a Steel Alloy Reserve Spike Watermelon.
Just roll it. Hey, man, what's up, Gabe?
Hey, what's up?
I wanted to do it that way, but with the technical stuff and everything, I thought it's just better safe to be early and do things. Then we'll hit the party and get our groove on. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, you know, to be in defense of everybody, this is the I think this is like the first live show we've done.
Is it really?
Like, well, no. Like, we were on this morning, and there were shows, but I mean, those were all from the studio.
Oh,
right?
I think this is probably
the first time that this system's been used in
reboot.
A little while.
Reboot. Yeah, it just needs a cleaning.
I don't know.
Like,
I sort of assume, or a little lap before the show starts. That's going to be my suggestion. It's sort of like a NASCAR. They don't just go to the start line and turn the key and, shit, it didn't start. You know what I mean? It's like, no, you take it for a couple of laps before, and, that's just my suggestion. Sort of let's flick some switches and stuff before, you know what I mean? Sort of like a cockpit, when the pilot gets in, all right, check. Light, all right, phone, all right.
It's a good point. You don't want to hit the runway.
Sort of seems like you and I are the pilots, and we're just sort of... we're ready to take off, and, like, the plane's not taking off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, buddy. we're still here.
Now, listen, I've done it myself. Hey, listen, I once sat and did it. This was a couple of months ago, but I did do it. I started a podcast, and I didn't look at, like, the chat or anything. So I didn't really look and see what people were saying about the show. I sort of briefly looked, but I just started rambling, and I had there was no sound. Like, the audio wasn't working. Like, I wasted like 27 minutes.
Yeah, you're just talking. No just sound, talking but until... you're like a ventriloquist. Wow, what an act.
No, like, my phone started to ring. Like, people started to call me, the newbie. They're like, dude, like, no one can hear you. I'm like, I'm all yelling and raging and stuff, like making hand gestures. And like, so... Like, I had no idea. So we're off and running here, 2019. Our 17th anniversary bash is Friday night. And it's 17 years of Sports Rage, essentially. We started on January the 6th, 2002. January the 6th, 2002. So January the 4th, whatever. Like, it's pretty much it. January the 6th is Sunday night. We actually started on a Sunday, but... I'm not doing a live party on a Sunday night.
No, we're going to
do it on Friday night.
Yeah,
and,
Friday's good.
Last year we were in Vancouver for the anniversary. It was a great time. The year before, I believe that was the crazy off the hook night at that bar in Toronto.
Oh yeah, that's right. I remember that night.
This. I'm sure. Like, there'll be a lot of drinks consumed. At the Pig and Parrot on Friday night. And it sets up for the NFL playoffs. LouGamble.com will join us. today. We'll talk NFL playoffs with Lou. We got four games on the board this weekend. College bowls yesterday. Actually did all right yesterday. I wasn't feeling great after drinking too much wine on New Year's Eve. So it was one of those days where I got my bets in like overnight when I was all hammered. Right. So I woke up the next day. It was already all in. There was nothing I could do about them. But the only thing that I missed out on is I wanted to get in on Texas last night. I did like Texas plus the points, but I ended up only taking the over when I was drunk. I was like, oh, I'll bet Texas. That's the last game. I'll have time to get in on it. But I didn't anticipate that I would be sleeping all day either. But, hey, Tom Herman, man, the guy's a great he's a great underdog. There, you know, you look at the guy's track record as an underdog, Cam, and it continues, whether he was at Houston or now now with Texas. When you give Tom Herman points, he usually not only covers, but he usually wins the game outright. It's pretty crazy.
It is crazy. One of my biggest regrets was going harder on Texas with all the talk that I heard from the Georgia players. Oh, this, we should be doing this and whatever. They came out in that game, they were not ready to play. And that's the only angle you could take in college games was kind of opposite to Gus Malzahn, who's gagged with Auburn there. They're an SEC team that is disappointed that finally showed up. Georgia, on the other hand, they're reading their own mail. Oh, we should have been in the playoff. Notre Dame sucks. They got smoked by Clemson. Well, you know what? You guys are down 10-0 to Texas before the game even starts. They punch you in the face, and they held on to win. Good on Texas for doing it, Gabe. Crazy. That line went up at one point, like it was like to 13, back to 11.5 before game time. And yeah, it's a regret. Like I like Texas, and I just wish I had the balls to put them on the money line. But I thought Georgia would maybe squeak out a win. They got pummeled. They got beat up, and I'm proud of that Texas program for laying it down on Georgia. That's why you don't talk shit before the games. Just play them.
No, teams that are focused on other teams or on the playoffs usually are flat in these other bowl games. And I expected it from Michigan as well against Florida. You know, Michigan, if they would have won, you know, they were going to the playoffs. They didn't. They got smoked. Suddenly you're playing in one of these stupid bowl games. I guess it's supposed to be a big game, the Peach Bowl or whatever. But, yeah,
not really.
It's just another bowl game against a Florida team that you always beat, too. You beat them the last three times you played them, right? And the Florida Gators were getting sick of it. They were actually happy to be in that bowl game. You know, Michigan wasn't, and a very similar situation. You knew Texas were going to be fired up, but it was a statement game for the Texas Longhorns, and Georgia's kids would have a hard time getting up for it, especially after watching the playoffs. But that's the way it is, you know. But if anything, these blowouts, they don't encourage a playoff. You know what I mean? Like they just don't. That's a problem for people that want an expanded playoff. If you look like, you know, Notre Dame got smoked by Clemson. Oklahoma and Alabama was a game. You know, after the first quarter, it was a game. Oklahoma covered. Oklahoma hung around. They outscored them after the first quarter all the way through, actually. But they just dug too big of a hole. But, you know, nothing really would be different. Like, look, if you look at, like, UCF, if UCF was in there, were they going to beat Clemson or Alabama? I don't think
they would have got actually murdered. They would have got murdered.
Yeah.
They got murdered
by
LSU.
What about Michigan? Same
Michigan,
thing, right?
Michigan got
smoked by Ohio State already, right? So, really, I don't think you really need to argue that, oh, you need more than four teams right now. I don't know if there's more than four really, really, really good teams.
It's a really good point, Gabe. But another thing is, let's give credit to a conference that always gets beat down, the Big 12. Oklahoma State was a double-digit dog to Missouri in that game. They won outright. As you said, Oklahoma in the second half against Alabama made it respectable. Last night, Texas over Georgia. You talk about soft conferences. Well, the Big 12 has done themselves right. Like teams in that conference have looked pretty damn good, if you ask me. Look at the underdogs by double-digit, both of them winning outright. Texas, Oklahoma State. And if West Virginia had Will Grier playing, I'll tell you, all the balls that Stills was open on because their other quarterback, Elliott, couldn't find him. The guy was open all day long. Yeah, he's all. Yeah. If that's a different quarterback, that's a different game too. So maybe the Big 12, they did themselves some favors in that game in the bowl season.
Here's the records actually for the here's the records, and you know it pretty much repeats itself. There's one thing, Cam. Look, I did pretty well with the late bowl games. They're easier to predict just because the teams are better, so they'll actually play like you expect them to play. You know, some of these early games, you know, they're hit or miss. But one thing that we do know, the MAC doesn't win bowl games. Yeah, they don't win bowl games. They're 1-5 in bowl games this year.
Pac-12 too.
They were the worst one. The MAC was 1-5. The American Athletic was 2-5. The Pac-12 was 3-4, but it's actually better than the 1-8 they put up on the board last year. So they went 3-4. ACC 5-5. And don't forget, that's also boistered by the fact that Clemson just won, right? So without Clemson, they would have been 4-5. The ACC, SEC 6-5. And of course, Alabama, one of those wins. Alabama still playing. So it's an opportunity to improve to 7-5 for the SEC. The Big Ten, 5-4. Big 12, you mentioned it, 4-3 for the Big 12. Sun Belt, an impressive performance for the Belt, 3-2. Mountain West have something to hang their hat on as well, 3-2 for the Mountain West. Independence get it done with BYU and Army both winning. Notre Dame was the loser, and Conference USA actually 4-2 when it was all said and done. 4-2 for the Conference USA. Pretty impressive. Technically, they're the best one.
No, I like Conference USA, and we were good with UAB, and that was a revenge spot in one of the earlier games. But, Gabe, look at the way the Pac-12 teams played. Arizona State against Fresno State, they were horrible in that game down the stretch. Sure, Oregon won the game. You beat Michigan State 7-6. You scored 7 points, and if it wasn't for Michigan State and some blunders in that game, hey, Washington, you were getting murdered. You came back and covered the spread. You still lose. And Cal and TCU in the Cheez-It Bowl could have been one of the worst bowl games of all time until the Nevada-Arkansas State game. Those are the two worst bowl games in the history of bowl games. Like, that game was atrocious as well, but just – time after time, you know I'm a fan of the Pac-12, but they're just not that good. They're just not that good. Their teams, they think they have elite status, but I'll take like a Big Ten team against them any day of the week, SEC, anything. Like the Pac-12 for power conferences is definitely the softest.
Yeah, and you know, it's strange because they have very good athletes, actually.
They do.
I don't know if
they
it's the style of football that they play, but you know.
Look at Utah. Look at Utah against Northwestern. They fall
apart.
Yeah, I
love Northwestern.
Like, they were leading in that game. Oh, no, did you? Like, the thing was, you were leading, like, by a couple touchdowns. That's the thing about these Pac-12 teams. They're flaky as hell. Like,
they
don't
will
play
fall apart.
60
right.
minutes. They crumble. Like, if things don't go well,
they don't seem
to be surprising.
As mentally as tough.
Yes.
Yeah, that's, you know,
that's
I don't know if it's the nice weather. I don't know if it's, like, the softer lifestyle, what it is. But there is something to it. And it's the same thing in college basketball as well. You know, team from the West Coast hasn't won a championship in forever, man. UCLA and Arizona are the two, right? It's every once in a while, and that was a while ago UCLA won. All right, we'll get to the phone lines on the other side. We'll talk more college football. Down to 5.5 right now, Alabama at some spots against Clemson.
Yeah.
Fourth year
I see
in a row
five.
They're playing each other.
I see some fives too, Gabe. Crazy.
4 years in a row. They split the first two. Bama won last year in the semifinal.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Time Decisions continues. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Off to we had a little bit of a technical difficulty, but we're off and running right now. It's all good.
Oil change, buddy. We're clean and ready to rock now, baby. Yeah, you sound
clear too today,
Morenci.
The sound is actually good. It's funny. I was thinking that before the show started. I was like, damn.
I'm like, wow.
Things are really clear today. And then
I know
they were clear, but we weren't on. Right, so it's like, wow, all right, it's a good start, good start. Yeah, but, yeah, let's figure it out now.
Yang. Yeah, we sound great. No one's hearing. That's the best.
That's all good. So if you missed the announcement, Cam is going to be with us here in New York this weekend, which will be going to be a lot of fun. We'll take Cam and his girlfriend out to out to the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yeah, Lisa asked me today. She said, is there roulette and table games there? I go, no, honey, it's a sports book, but there's horses. So it'll be kind of like we're back at Shoeless Joe's. You can watch the horses
exactly.
Run around.
Exactly.
And bet a 90-1 horse like you do when Open comes in.
Yeah, there might even be some live racing, actually.
That'd be awesome.
As far as casinos are concerned, it's kind of a letdown. I believe I don't know if Atlantic City's the closest one. There might be like one of the other.
Is there like a little one or something? There's got to be something that's not Atlantic City kind of there.
I think maybe it's like Yonkers or something like that, though, man.
There's a casino in Yonkers? Nice. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
There might be. I think there might be a casino. That's where Jim Day is, I think. Where?
Huh.
Empire Casino? Where's that at? Yeah,
that's up in Yonkers. That's Empire Casino.
Oh, it is Yonkers,
yeah.
Huh?
Then you have Results World Casino out in Far Rockaway, Queens.
Oh, really? So, that's not too bad.
No, it's not.
How far is that?
That's over, like, heading towards, like, JFK.
So it's up like, by the airport.
Yeah, it's a little closer, like, from the airport. But if you want to...
What do they got, Yang?
It's a normal casino? It's just like a normal casino?
They got blackjack. They got roulette. They got
I think all the stuff that they have there is, like, computerized, like, gaming. Like, so it's not,
I like the human touch. Any chick who's a virtual reality chick, she'll look good on screen. And I know they're in another country doing the video. But no offense, I need a real live dealer. I need somebody to talk to.
You know what's twisted, though? Like, even in Vegas, Cam, all those, like, automated, like, the video, you know, where, like, people sit around in the circle and, like, there's, like, the video, sort of like a slick video screen, like, hot chick dealing, like, video chick.
You know who likes it?
People like that better. I don't know why.
Yeah. A lot of millennials like it.
They want to avoid, exactly. They want to avoid human interaction.
It's actually crazy. I'm the absolute opposite. Like, when I'm at a blackjack table and I find somebody who's, like,
I like the flow of the table. I'll tell you the story, actually. Yeah. I went to the casino on Saturday in Vancouver, Park Casino.
Nice.
I won
good
like
casino.
$200 playing blackjack, too. Well, not 200. I started with 100. I built it up to like 225, 250 or so. But I got beaten down a bit. I actually cashed out. Like, I actually split with $127. So I started with 100. I got up like to 250, 300 at one point and tapped out. I left with 127. And I played Baccarat. And you usually don't get into the Baccarat. Banker.
That's the bet.
Yeah, I was betting banker. Bet on banker.
Mr. Banker. Yes. Yeah, it's good stuff. Baccarat's pretty
crazy
cool.
Crazy with a dealer, too. Right? Oh, banker wins. Banker wins.
it's a game like, that you push a lot, right? Like, Baccarat's one of those games that you could hang around for a while. Like, if you want to kill time, that's your game. That's your game.
No, Pie Gow is the one. Pie Gow is the slow one.
Pie Gow, yeah.
Baccarat's like an evil blackjack. You don't do anything. Like there's no thinking involved. It's crazy. It's like basically it's like crack, man. The dealer just keeps dealing, and basically you just bet. He deals like two deals of cards to himself. You know, you're not even getting cards. Like he puts a card down. He puts another card down. And there's this, like, cute-looking panda. That's the player. And there's, like, this evil-looking dragon breathing fire. He's the banker.
The fire
you put your money
dragon.
On the dragon or the panda.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm getting games, confused there. You're right. It's Pai Gal because I remember it's one game you're just, like, basically they you just push and push and push all day.
Yeah,
it's
that's
great
the
when
one.
You're in Vegas. You're great in
yeah,
Vegas
no, that's the one
you're getting free drinks.
Stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
If you want the slow, like, if you're like, all right, I'm in the casino. Things aren't going great, but I want to hang out at the tables here and have some fun. Pike out, but it's frustrating. Like
I told you, like there was a black. Yeah, there's a blackjack in San Jose, Gabe, where the player becomes the bet. Like, you can become the dealer. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen when I was covering the Sharks. I've never seen any type of blackjack like that. Players can go before the deal. Okay, I'm going to be dealer and stuff. It was like they switched it up. I've never seen that in a casino. I've been to a lot of casinos. I've never seen where a player could be the dealer. And it was blackjack, not another game. It was weird. Crazy
stuff. You know what a lady in the Stratosphere I was playing? I was playing Pike Out with Johnny Liquor one night. And because he told me the same thing. He was the one that taught me that. He was like, listen, because I was crazy, dude. I like war and stuff. You know what I mean? I used to walk into a casino, put $200 on. Let's just go draw a card.
Casino war.
Let's go. Draw a card. Let's go. You know what I mean?
High, low. Casino war's fun, actually. It's a lot.
So I remember, Johnny's like, you're insane. That's like the worst game to play in a casino. I said, it's quick. It's fast. It's like, I like it. And at the Strat, they have the sexy dealers doing the war, right? They only had it on like Fridays and Saturdays. And dude, I used to crush it. Like, I used to get kicked off the table. They'd shut the table down and stuff. Because it's just, you're either hot or you're not. It's one of those deals where
I'll tell you one thing.
Sometimes I'd win like 7 times in a row, right? And it's like, they get pissed off, man. The Strat used to get mad about a low
when you won. Oh, I hate that casino. I've never lost more money. You were there the night that I was like, that was probably the worst gambling problem like I've ever had in my life. Like, I remember I lost every cent we made from our gig in like 10 minutes. I couldn't win a hand. I went to the booth. I maxed out my Visa card. I got a loan. Like, I don't know what I did that night, but I was just so angry. And they wouldn't even give us a buffet. I'm out like $6,000. I'm like, I remember that 2-hour stint at the end of the night. I'm like, I just really messed up my life. Like, I don't know what
I've had my worst.
I was like,
I had
crying.
My worst Vegas experience at the Strat too.
I hate that place. I'll never go back. Oh, yeah.
Remember, we got drunk on the plane, and I remember checking into the Strat at like 11 in the morning, 12, and they're like, oh, you can't get into your room until 3.
Yeah, exactly.
I lost my money.
I know. We lost
for like the weekend.
Everything.
You know, I lost like $1,500. Like, I was all drunk. I was like, well, I can't lose again. I'm like,
Gabe, I maxed out $1,500
before I even checked into my room.
I remember you were there, and you found me at the other bar, like, crying. Like, I went to another bar to have a drink, and I go, what the hell did I just do? Like, after I figured it out, I'm like, I really messed up. Like, I got to work free for, like, the next 5 months. Like, I'm like, I really screwed up, bro. And I'll tell you something too, when at the Golden Nugget, when they bring in the sexy dealers, I know it's nice to chat with them, don't do it. Hang out with the big fat guy from like Iowa or whatever. He'll crack a couple jokes.
No, I've warned
people
about that.
Things always go better when I deal with senior citizens dealing happy jovial guys. I don't
think
even, yeah,
that
of course
the hot
it
chick
is.
Doesn't know what she's no. doing. She's the smart. Yeah. You think they're putting chicks You think they're putting a dealer on the floor on a Friday or Saturday night in Vegas and she doesn't know what she's doing?
Want to know what it is, too?
It's
psychological.
She's wearing a bikini. She's got a big rack. There's no way she's on top of the card.
You also do a lot of dumber things. You do dumber things. You double down harder. You do, I don't want to see her as cheap. Like, you know what I mean? You want to be like, hey, look at me. I know how to play. No, it's all psychological. Just like the chip.
Planet Hollywood.
Yeah, fast talking Mike stays there. Oh, I know. My fast talking Mike stays there.
Yeah, like, they have the hot deal. Like, they're like Playboy models, like, dealing you cards. But the thing is, they double down on it, dude. They have, like, chicks dancing behind every blackjack table.
Oh, I know.
So, like, there's these asses in your face on top of it. So when you're playing, you're not really following the other cards, Cam. You can't help it.
No,
you're sitting there, so you do your card, and then you just look up. You're like, oh, my God, man, look at this ass in front of me. And then she's like, yeah, you're hit. You know what I mean? You're like, huh, what? Like, it's like you get taken out of your element. Like, it's really, like I said, like, I used to stay away from that. The Strat was different because it was kind of weird. It was in the back corner, and it was kind of a loose atmosphere back there. But, like, a lot of those casinos, like you said, on Fremont, the Golden Nugget, there's the other one, Binion's is big with the hot dealers. They'll bring you down
all the started? Time. It actually started at the Golden Gate. Remember when me and Lisa had a fight? Remember when we had an argument? She got all wasted and pulled me off, and I had to get a hotel there the other night with the prison showers where the tiles were all broken. That's where I discovered, like, the hot dealing stuff going on there. Yeah, there's chicks dancing in the background like a strip club, and then the girl is in bikinis dealing you cards. It's like crazy. That's the only casino I've ever won with, like, the super sex pit. Like, you know what I mean? Because I was all business on that trip. Like, I needed the money, and I was focused. But most of the time, you get liquored up, those girls will eat you alive, Gabe. Want to take some calls, buddy, or what? I think we got a few guys on the line. Or Do Who do we got here? Clam Chowder?
Clam Chowder.
Clam Chowder. Ooh, nice.
Oh, we do actually have some guys on hold here. All
yeah,
right.
We do. We got Tom and Rick. Sorry, guys. We have casino stories. We get sidetracked.
Yeah. And you know what? I thought of you, Tom, actually, in Long Island, because I bet that game on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah, and the crazy game.
Yeah, a hell of a game. I didn't see it. I was in a bar in Vancouver, UFC and everything, but I saw it. I was like, oh, man, I forgot St. John's playing against Seton Hall. I took Seton Hall on the money line.
And they hit a game
all night
shot.
They were losing. Yeah, all night they were losing. I'm like, son of a bitch, man. St. John's are for real, man. Plus 3.5. And they hit the shot at the end. We got the money line, but St. John's did cover the number. All right, we apologize for those of you on hall. Let's go to Clam Chowder right now, who's going to be with us Friday night at the Sports Rage Anniversary Bash, just like Cam Stewart is. What's going on, Chowder?
Hey, how we doing, New York City? Hey, meow, 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 with the kitten in the house. Yeah. Hope you had a good stay in Utica prison. How we doing, guys?
Pretty good.
Happy
Clam
New
Chowder.
Year, by the way.
Happy New Year, buddy. Happy New Year to you, Chowder.
Happy New Year, Chowder. So Yang gave you the address, right, for the studio.
I need that address.
Yeah,
too.
Listen, it's right.
I'm gonna
you
walk
just gotta
through
get
Central
the
Park.
Penn stations. No, you're not walking through Central Park, Chowder. Central Park's nowhere near the station.
Uh-oh.
Like this isn't. Yeah. You're not walking through Central Park.
Penn Station,
Chowder. Penn Station. All right,
Penn
it's very very
station.
Simple. Yes, it's
Penn
like the main train station.
Alum.
Yeah, Penn Station. Right, Penn Station's right where Madison Square Garden is, and the studio is right across the street, like a block over from Penn Station. Right, so if you can find Penn Station and just sort of ask around, and you know you can find your way to the hotel where the studio is at.
10-4.
And the studio is on the fifth floor, Chowder. The fifth floor. So when you get to the lobby, you just tell them, listen, I want to go to the TV studio on the fifth floor.
Yeah, fifth floor. A big high five.
Yeah, but don't be going for any walks through Central
Park.
Yeah,
no Central Park. That's very far away. Penn Station area? That's where you got to head, Chowder. Stay in
Central
that vicinity.
Central Park's like 30 blocks, Chowder, from our studio.
That's a long time, man. That's a lot of money. A lot of cash.
All right.
Ubers.
So at least you have the address now, Chowder. I'll send you an email, too. You shut your Twitter down, Chowder.
Yeah. I told you it's for real.
Yeah, I know, but you should have waited until after to shut
the
it
show.
Down.
Yeah. We got to get a hold of you.
Yeah, and I started just following you, Chowder.
Yeah. Yang started following you. You got to open it back up for a few days there, Chowder. Then you close shop.
Nah, man. The narcotic drug, man. I'm too addicted, man. I got to stay off.
You got to stay off of Twitter.
Twitter. Yeah, it's very addictive. Very addictive. Not for me.
Yeah, no, I know.
Most other people.
I guess.
I can totally
like
get
I said,
it.
I'm just concerned, Chowder. Like, you should email me your number or get your cousin to send it to me.
That's
on
a good point, Gabe. You
don't
need
want
backup
you getting
plans.
Lost.
Yes.
Great idea.
Great idea.
Now listen, Chowder. I think there is a bus right from the airport that goes to Penn Station, though. All right. So there is a bus that's probably takes like an hour and a half, but. There is a bus that goes to Penn Station from the airport, LaGuardia, I believe.
Yeah, LaGuardia, not Kennedy.
Yeah, LaGuardia.
Kennedy, they shot down.
Yeah, that's why I said LaGuardia.
Yeah, I was going to go to Newark.
Yeah.
Newark,
yeah.
Gabe, it's funny.
It's
I looked at Newark.
Down, but yeah.
Newark and LaGuardia are like exactly the same length. It's crazy. Like I was thinking one over the other. It doesn't really matter, right? So...
Newark's usually a little bit more expensive.
Oh, okay.
It's easier to get. Well, what are you doing? You're doing Porter? Well, we'll figure that out after anyway.
Yeah, I'm flying.
What airline
are
you
flying? I think United.
From Pearson?
Something like that. Yeah. We're not doing Porter. We're not doing the quick
one.
Yeah, no, we're going through Pearson. Yeah. Doing it old school.
All right. Cheap. But we look forward to seeing you, Chowder. And Cam's going to be here even.
Yeah. Same here. And like I said, Get ready your Sharpie. Once I enter in New York City, I'm hiding my bag with the rodents and strutting my stuff. Remember the old saying, keep on trucking? Well, keep on strutting.
You're going to be strutting through New York City.
Keep on strutting.
Yeah. I'm going to have the Elmo. I'm going to have the Elmos, the Cookie Monsters, and Oscar, the trash can coming after me.
Yeah, we're going to keep you away from Times Square. I don't want you getting stabbed by Elmo.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward. Hey. Any chance of getting on Game Time Decision?
Yeah, we're going to get you sure. Get you on, Chowder, of course.
All right.
We'll get you on the show in the morning. If you get there on time before 12, we'll put you on. We'll get you on
morning
the morning show.
Nice.
All right. So I'm going to put the clam juice, and I'm going to fire away to make it as early as possible. Penn State, 5th floor, 218 West 35th Street.
Yeah, we'll see you. We'll see you Friday. We'll see you Friday, Chowder.
Okay, I'll see Marvelous Gabriel Morenci. Hey, Gabe, say hi to Marvelous Gabriel Morenci and what's in the kitchen? Have a good time in Utica until I get there Friday night. Take care, everybody.
Later, Chowder. Good stuff.
Clap, Chowder.
Say you feel the passion.
We'll see you. Safe travels, Chowder. Safe travel.
Yeah.
Call the station. Yep. Call the station Friday morning if you have a problem with the same number, Chowder, right?
Okay, cool. Have a good one, Gabe.
Later, buddy.
Clap, Chowder. All right, hang in there, Riggs. And Tom, we'll get to you guys on the other side. We're going to get to Lou Gamblou as well. But we'll get to the calls before we get to Lou. Game Time Decision continues.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game Time Decisions.
Game Time Decisions continues. Brent Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Gabriel Moretti. As you heard on the promo, we nailed it as close as possible. We said Alabama would win by 10 points. They won by 11 points. The question is,
it was a good one.
Will they win by Monday, or will they win? Can Clemson beat them outright?
The line's telling you, Gabe? Line's telling you that Clemson might be the way to go, but Alabama's in one of my I also teased it. I have a couple teasers with Alabama to plus one with Texas that hit the first leg. So I don't know. I might take Clemson and try for a middle job. If that line gets to 6, I buy it to 7. Hopefully it's within a touchdown. Bob's your uncle. That game's going to be on Monday, too.
It's a weird matchup in the sense of it's like a fight where – it's like two dudes that are always just like way outclassed their opponent, right? And now they're fighting someone on their own skill level. So it'll be interesting to see how they both react. Yet you got to believe that Alabama's skill level is just a little bit more.
I agree.
A little bit deeper than Clemson.
I trust
Clemson are dangerous.
All right, they are dangerous, Gabe. I trust Tua a little bit more, too, than Lawrence. It's going to be a big stage for him, a big, big upgrade. We'll see.
All right. Let's just squeeze in these phone calls. We're going to get to Lou.
Yeah.
Lou from Gamblou.com. Let's go to Tom from Long Island. We'll get to our boy Riggs. Tom, Long Island. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. How we doing today? Happy New Year to you guys.
Always a pleasure,
Happy
Tom.
New Year,
Happy
Tom.
New Year, buddy. Hey, your St. John's covered the number the other night, at least. They didn't win, but it covered the number.
They did. You know what? They were down by, I think, 12. I hedged. I did seam hole plus 5.5. So I broke
oh,
even.
Good job.
You know, but listen, I don't know if you guys seen that last play. I know the Big East just came out yesterday and said, listen, we apologize. The referee made a mistake, but we couldn't correct the call. St. John should have won that game. Did you see what happened?
No, I didn't. I was in a bar. No. I was watching it online. I didn't see the game online. I was just tracking the score. So I saw the buzzer at the end. I was like, oh.
Yeah, St. John's up by one. Seen Hall inbounding the ball. They throw it in. St. John steals the ball, and the ref says, hey, they knocked it out of bounds. And the replay shows no, the ball did not go out of bounds at all. And St. John's was going up for an easy layup. So the replay show that the ball never went out of bounds, but supposedly it's an unreversible call. But I'm happy St. John's last night, you know, they brought in Marquette and they blew him out by 20. And I was at the game at Carneseca, and that place was bumping. People were pissed off, and I'm excited about these Johnnies. I just went to AC today just to place a little futures bet on them to win the NCAA just because I'm a long shot type of guy.
Yeah, I like
good stuff.
What'd you get them at?
Hey,
what'd you get them at, Tom?
Right now, St. John's to win the NCAA at Golden Nugget is plus 1215.
Oh, wow, I'm surprised you wouldn't. I'm surprised it's so low.
Low? That's low. 12, 15. Wow. 12 to 1 and change? Yeah. I would have probably
started
game. Though. What do you say? 25 to 1, maybe. You know, 30.
Yeah, I thought it'd be 30 or so.
That's home. Well, they know they're going to get some hometown action. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Regional action. Regional
hey, we got some big college basketball tonight, actually. I'm gonna sprinkle on a couple of these games. Texas are at K-State. I think K-State's in a good spot on their home court here tonight. And the other Kansas team, the Jayhawks. Unbelievable, man. These guys, 14 consecutive? I think they're gunning for their 15th consecutive Big 12 title. And the Big 12 is the best college basketball conference in the country. So it's just amazing what they've accomplished. Hosting Oklahoma tonight. I don't really want to lay the 8.5 points, but I think the total's doable. I think it's like 151 right now, or at least it was a couple hours ago, 151. So I'm looking at some Big 12 ball tonight, guys. I'm looking to pull the trigger on Kansas State at home. It's like minus -1, 1.5 against Texas right now. Texas aren't a great road team, and the Kansas Jayhawks in Oklahoma to get over a $1.51 or so. That's two of the games I'm looking at so far.
Do you guys think Seton Hall Xavier line's a little weird? Xavier -3.5 home tonight.
Yeah. That's actually interesting. I was actually looking at Seton Hall. What do you think, Tom?
I'm actually going to take Seton Hall as well. You know, as a St. John's fan, it kills me to be taking the Pirates, but I think that line's a little weird right now.
It is.
Yeah,
it feels like one of those
game.
Like, bait lines.
Xavier aren't great at 9-5. We got to keep it rolling. We're going to get back to the college ball, but Xavier are 7-1 on their home court. Thanks for the call, Tom. Happy New Year, bro. All right, we'll squeeze
Happy
Riggs in, and then we'll get to Lou.
Lou.
What's up,
Happy
Riggs?
Happy New Year, Riggs.
Not much. How are you? Happy New Year.
What's on your mind?
Back from FanDuel. Had a great weekend.
Nice.
Good stuff. So what are you taking tonight, Riggs?
I am on Iowa State and Texas Tech. That's what I went and got earlier.
Iowa State and Texas Tech.
Let's take a look here. Iowa State.
It's Big 12 night tonight.
Yeah, Big 12 night. Iowa State -4 on the road against Oklahoma State. Yeah, and then Texas Tech. Where do we get Texas Tech?
So they're both getting 4.5 points. Plus four.
Yeah,
plus
they're both laying. They're both, the one's laying 4, one's laying 4.5. Interesting.
Yeah.
They're both getting. Iowa State's plus
no,
four.
They're giving, Gabe. The Texas Tech's -4.5, and Iowa
West
State
Virginia,
is -4.
Me. Yes, okay. Yeah. Oh, road favorites you're laying. Where you're laying
yeah,
the
this guy's
the
a, he's, right. road, he's a road dog tonight. Road dog Riggs.
Wow. It's pretty ballsy.
Yeah, it's big balls.
Hey, Cam, you're flying in Friday. If you need a lift, let me know.
Oh, thanks, Riggs. Yeah, I think we're I just got to confirm with my lady tonight. We're flying into LaGuardia. We should be there in the afternoon just in time to do game time decisions with Morenci, and then we'll hit that bar in Hoboken to rip it up. Did you rent out the bar, Morenci, or is it just you just said,
no,
hey,
no.
People coming over?
No, I don't need to rent it out. Michelle Serpico.
She works there. Oh,
yeah,
nice.
She knows the owners.
Nice.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
good work.
No, there's going to be other people there. There'll be other people. It's not like it's private for us or anything, but they're going to give us a good table, good corner, wherever we need to set up. You know what I mean?
Sounds amazing.
I'll be there.
Look forward to it, Riggs.
Yeah,
all right, we got to get to Lou Gamble.
I'll let you guys go. I know you've been busy.
Have a good one, Riggs. Take
thanks,
it easy,
Riggs.
Buddy.
All right, guys.
All right, yeah. My apologies. I was confused about the picks there and who was laying. But
yeah. No, he's laying two road favorites.
Two road favorites. All right, let's bring in Lou right now. Gamblu.com. Lou, always a pleasure. Happy New Year, Lou.
Happy New Year, Lou.
Happy New Year, gentlemen. I'm fresh from my stint with Gabriel a few nights ago, and I will apologize. I think Uncle Louie turned the corner on that episode, but be that as it may, I want to hit you with a couple of things. First of all, that was really great to listen. I'm glad you guys take callers from there. Here's one thing I've thought for a long time. The East Coast gets snowed in with winter, and by East Coast, I mean Chicago, Jersey, New York, Toronto, anywhere there's winter, and you can't go out and do much. The handicappers on the East Coast that do basketball are so goddamn good, man. I just got to love it. And listen to those guys talk. That's just really great. The one thing I will say is this. You got to shop your lines. The young gentleman, Tom, took St. John's, and he made good points. He's a St. John's fan. I just took St. John's at 100-1.
100-1? And he's getting 12-1. Oh, my God. Holy jeez.
Did we misread?
Maybe he got 121.
He said plus 12.
Yeah, but that's 12.
I can't believe that exactly.
Maybe it's 120. No, it is. It might be 100. It might be 121.5-1 or something like that, Marenzi, because it can't be 12.
Hey, Tom,
to
if you're out there, call back and tell Yang right now.
No, I'm going to go find futures
right now.
I'm going to find some futures right now.
Yeah, I know. The book of looking at right now.
Hopefully he got 121, plus, 121-1.
That's what I was going to say. At 12-1, St. John's are good, but they're not that
they're
good.
Not that,
right?
At 100-1, I pushed the button real quick, guys. I can tell you that right now. And I will say this. We talk in Vegas all the time about the favor by which, whether it's Biloxi, Mississippi, or it's going to be Illinois when they get it, or Jersey, that now that you have it, or New Hampshire or West Virginia, you got to watch what they do to the locals. It's hard to be a local fan and go to New York and bet a New York team. You're better off getting in touch with somebody in Vegas and getting you a number there. And I've been doing that for 30 years since I've been in college with bookmakers throughout the country, and of course, not exchanging real money, just valid opinions, of course. But I think you really got to shop. I mean, if you're in New York and you got a giant game against, let's say it's the Saints. Well, if you like the Giants, you got to get a bookie down in New Orleans to book that bet for you. Consequently, if you like New Orleans, you want to bet it with the New York bookie. You got to take advantage of every one or two or three of those points you get.
Okay, Gabe, I got an updated Vegas from Vegas Insider. St. John's 66-1. So Lou got a good number. 66-1.
66. Yeah, it's funny because right now, FanDuel, I'm looking here right now, too, over the FanDuel book. So, one thing I was surprised by, Lou, though, this year is, listen, New Yorkers are pretty negative people. I hear what you're saying. Like, the local markets and local bookies will obviously always, they're always going to, they're going to juice their numbers. But it surprised me because there's so much negativity around the Giants. People were betting on the visiting team, actually, often. There'd actually be steam and money on the Giants' opponent because people are like, the Giants blow. And they're kind of sharp bettors here, like you stated, Lou. And it's a good point that you raise. People on the West Coast, man, there's a lot of options, right? Go for a walk, go to the beach. There's so much to do outdoors that there isn't that option, too. You're exactly right, Lou. I mean, look, I'm on the air all day, but even when I wasn't, I remember in my younger days, you're right, man, it'd be snowing like crazy outside, and I wouldn't care, man. I'd just be capping all day, right? You watch all the games because you're not going out, and you really are on top of it a lot because it's a good point. You're snowed in. Now, it's not – there's not really a lot of snow anymore, but I get your point, though. Like, it's cold, and it's not the same, right? People in San Diego –
oh, yeah,
like,
I know.
Like, for me, it's like, all right, I might go for – I could walk over to Hoboken. It's like 10 minutes. But it's windy. It's cold. So it's like, yeah, do I really want to walk around for the next half an hour outside, like going to get a pizza, or am I just going to call and order? If I was in San Diego, I'd be like, man, I'm walking down the street to go pick up whatever the hell I want to get. I'd want to get sun and get out there and see the hot chicks on the street and stuff. You got a good point.
You know what it is, too,
well,
Gabe?
Not only that,
sorry, Lou, continue. Yeah, I'll just tell you my Vegas story for golf futures. I was going to say, Gabe, when I went to Vegas for golf futures, I was getting guys like a Brent Snedeker. Remember when he almost won like the Masters? It was 275 to 1, and other books he was at 100. The one thing I noticed they do in West Coast Vegas books is if everyone goes Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods on something, all the other guys that you like as underdogs, they'll increase it. They're not afraid to put up a crazy number either. Like when I was playing those with Will Hill, Gabe, when I played those golf futures, they had good guys listed at like 250 to 1, 300 to 1, like crazy stuff. And you should see them in the horse racing before the Kentucky Derby. They're not afraid of anything. That's the one thing I find a lot of local books, they'll diminish because if some guy, if they get clipped like a crazy story, like Greece winning a soccer tournament, they get pummeled. But these other places, they're not afraid to give you crazy, crazy numbers to induce action.
Yeah, that's called a good shop, Cam.
Yeah, exactly.
Any good shop, when they take money on one chalk, they add to dog numbers on the other. And case in point this weekend, what I'm saying, let's just take Baltimore and the Chargers, okay? Vegas is going to get, first of all, everybody's getting buried on the Chargers. But Vegas is going to get slam dunked on the Chargers. Why? Because California, L.A., and San Diego is right next to Las Vegas. And what's going to happen up into the books in New York? They're going to get more Baltimore money. So if you're going to bet L.A., you want to bet it up in New York, where the Baltimore flavor is going to be. And if you want Baltimore, come to Vegas and get the three. Every half point in these playoff games means something. And now that we're going to have regional gaming, you're going to be able to manipulate the system like that legally.
Looking at the numbers now, there's been a lot of line movement in these playoff games, and almost all of it on the dog. And it's funny, Lou, I'm looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook, and I'm looking at other books online right now. The Texans are -1 right now. This is in New York. The Texans are -1. The Cowboys are now -1 only. Baltimore Ravens -2.5 on the East Coast. And surprisingly, because Philadelphia is sort of a regional team, they're getting an even 6 right now against the Chicago Bears. And, you know, you and I casually talked about this game, Lou, the other night, Philadelphia and Chicago, Cam. And you got Nick Foles right now, who, you know, has won 3 straight football games, won 3 games last year in the playoffs as well, including the Super Bowl, most valuable player. You know, is Nick Foles, you know, Aaron Rodgers at the combine? No. But there's something special about Nick Foles, Cam, and the chemistry that he has with Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz and everybody, and the confidence that they have in him. Philadelphia's a dangerous team getting 6 points. Now, Chicago are a really, really good team. But it's their first time in the playoffs in a long time. Oftentimes, these upstart teams, they sort of lose that first time back in the playoffs. And then it's a learning process to move forward. I'm not really in a hurry to jump in front of the Bears, but the Eagles getting 6 to me is pretty intriguing. I think it's a lot of points.
It is a lot of points, but I'm going to say, Gabe, I think Philadelphia is going to be the most popular play because of the 6 points. And to Uncle Louie's teaser,
I don't think
time,
people believe in them.
Yeah, I actually think the Bears. That's all. I like to take almost blindly bet dogs in the playoffs, but I'm going to do a teaser to the Bears and get the Chargers. On my book, the Chargers are 3, so I get the Chargers at +10 with the Bears at +1. Like I just don't believe Baltimore can blow these guys out, Gabe. But I believe in the Bears. I believe in that defense, and I like Nick Foles, but I think they get to him. I think he's going to be overwhelmed.
All right, we'll get Lou's thoughts on the other side of our rapid-fire commercial break.
Yeah.
They're fast, trust me.
Very fast. Yeah, lightning speed.
Yeah, a lot of hosts said, we'll be right back after these quick messages. But,
we don't have time for a leak. No, they're very fast.
Yeah, you don't even have time to go to the bathroom, people. We're going to be right back with some NFL picks.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Decision, Red Heat and Rage Radio. Fantasy Sports Radio Network, brought to you in part by MyBookie.ag. Cam, why don't you let everyone know?
You got a game at the game, got a gut feeling, no problem. You can bet from anywhere, anytime with the all-new MyBookie mobile betting platform. With the MyBookie mobile platform, you'll enjoy the safety and convenience of at-home betting when you're on the go. Try it out today, and you'll never miss another game-winning bet. Head over to MyBookie.ag and open up an account with the promo code FNTSY, and MyBookie will match your deposit up to $1,000. That's right, baby, a dime, $1,000. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. Back to you, Morenci.
That's a good promo, $1,000.
That's a hell of a promo.
Yeah, actually, I got an account with them, Lou. I put in 100 and I got built it up to 500 with the bowl season. So, hence my trip to New York. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, Cam's coming down for our anniversary show this week, this Friday night, Lou. So, we weren't expecting that. We're going to take him for a tour out New York a little bit, go out to the sports book and the racetrack.
Yeah.
And Cam will be with his better half as well. So yes. I'm sure, you know, you'll go out with her a bit. Atlantic City is like 3 hours away, right? So
I told her it's not happening. We'll do that on another
time. It's too much for a short trip. It's not like Monday night. An hour and a half or something.
No, it's not, I can't do a day trip there. So anyway, Gabe, it's going to be good, though. We're going to stay all the way till actually, I think we leave Tuesday morning, Gabe, so we can go and watch that Clemson-Alabama game, too, before I say sayonara. Great weekend we got planned.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. And like I said, Cam's a big you're a big race guy, so you're going to like the Meadowlands.
I had the Meadowlands. I know some of the drivers there, Gabe, not jockeys, drivers with the standard bred, so I'll get brushed up on my Meadowlands racing before I come down there. Win some dough.
Yeah, I always see them jogging on the track before they race. Trying to make weight, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Lou from Gamblu.com with us, who happens to be a Chicago Bear fan, but Lou is also a very smart man. It's about money more than fandom when it comes to betting on sports. But we were just talking about this game, Lou, so up to 6 points right now. Nick Foles got banged up his ribs in the last game of the year last week against the Skins. But he's going to be good to go. And it's hard not to. I mean, you look at Nick Foles, and you got to say, would they be here right now if Carson Wentz was the starting quarterback? And I'm not so sure they would be. Like, I don't know. There's something about Nick Foles that the offense runs better than it does with Carson Wentz. Wentz sort of locks in on Zach Ertz and doesn't spray the ball around. Nick Foles just throws to whoever's open. And it just seems to make them more of a dangerous team. And it's weird because it's not like Carson Wentz sucks or anything. I mean, a lot of teams would kill to have Carson Wentz on their team. But the Philadelphia, you know, they're a pretty dangerous team, defending Super Bowl champions, getting 6 points. What's your take on this game, Lou?
First of all, I want to qualify myself by disclosing that this is probably the game that I have the least amount of feel with, to be honest with you. I go back and forth. You know, Philly is 4-4 against the spread on the road. Okay, so they're mediocre on the road. And Chicago, 7-1 against the spread at home. And they're a dynamically strong home team. And to me, this game is going to come down to, when I look at the Philly defense, 14th against the rush, 20th against the pass. I don't think Chicago's going to be able to expose the back end of the Philly D because of Trubisky, but I think Chicago's going to be able to run on that defense, even though Philly may kind of stack the box. More importantly, I got no idea where that 26th ranked Philadelphia rush game is going to have any success at all. And if they can't run the ball with whoever of the three or four backs they've been trying to put back there the last eight games, then they're going to be in a situation where I don't think that Steve Young or Joe Montana could be a one-dog show against that Chicago defense in Chicago, let alone Nick Foles. So I really think that this game, to me, has the propensity of a complete and total levee break. And I like Chicago, but I'm a little bit afraid of giving 6 points. But gun to my head, I think Chicago has the chance to blow the doors off Philly here.
And Cam, you feel like the Bears too in this game.
I do. I really like the Bears. I think this is the time. Like, I know Philadelphia comes in there, Super Bowl champs, but I still believe in Trubisky. I believe in that young team. I like the way Howard's been, Gabe. At the end of the year, it was more about Cohen. He's getting more confidence. I think that, and that defense is going to give Nick Foles fits. They're going to come up with packages. He's not very fleet of foot. I do admit, though, you're absolutely correct, Gabe. Him and Alshon Jeffrey have a relationship because Wentz didn't spread it around. He's doing a better job. But that Bears defense is too quick, too dynamic. I think he's going to get hammered all day long. I think the Bears win the game by like 13 to 16 points. I think they'll be in all teasers, Gabe.
And, Lou, you mentioned you think the West Coast. Go ahead, Lou.
I was just going to add, if I do have an opinion on that game, I do have a relatively strong opinion that I tend to agree with Cam. And when he says the Bears by 13 or 16 points, then I see it as 19-3, 16-6, 21-7. I like the under because I don't know where Philly's getting points in this game.
And you look at the total right now, 41 points, and even 41 is the total. We'll check in on the weather. And don't miss on Friday, Michelle Serpico's weather report.
Hey!
Usually breaks the internet. Chicago weather.
I was going to say, I'll tune into that, but I can tell you right now that the wind factor looks like it's about 9 or 10 miles an hour, which is not enough to concern us yet. Baltimore is going to have a little bit more wind.
43 degrees.
Earlier in the day.
43 degrees, 12-mile-an-hour winds. It's not
that cold.
It's
not that cold.
It really isn't.
No, it isn't the cold that affects the total. It's the wind.
The wind will affect the total,
not the cold.
Yeah, 12 miles an hour. Not much, though, 12 miles an hour.
Nah. Off the lake in Chicago in Soldier Field, that's going to gust to be 20 miles an hour. I'm telling you that. I know that stadium, and it sits right by the lake. 12 miles an hour, I love to see. Anything 12 miles an hour or above, I absolutely consider as a factor if I'm looking at the totals. And other people may say it should be 15, whatever, you know, everybody has their own thing. Here's another tip I'm going to give to the listeners, okay? During the NFL season this year, if you just pick a winner, you're going to be right 82.6% of the time. So what am I saying? And that is only 17% of the time is the spread coming in to the results of a football game. Okay, when you get to the playoffs, pick the winner becomes more astringent. And when you get to wild card weekend, it's 89%. So I would caution everybody to do this, because here's what I'm doing. Forget about the point spreads. Pick the winner of the game and you're going to win. Pick the winner of the game and you're going to win. And I got three winners for you guys.
I like it, Lou.
We'll bring them on, Lou. And I will say this. You're right, Lou. As far as the Super Bowl is concerned, look, there's been 52. I guess I think this year is Super Bowl 53. So there's been 52 Super Bowls. You know, Lou, as you stated, I believe the point spread has only come to play six times. So I think it's 46-6. Just pick the winner.
Pick the winner.
46. Look at last year. Philadelphia Eagles were 4.5-point underdogs. They won a game outright. The year before that, the Denver Broncos were 6-point underdogs against Carolina.
Yep. Yeah,
that would happen. They won the game outright. You know what I mean? Like, go down the list. It's amazing in the Super Bowl. It's like 45-7, 46-6. It really is that strong of an angle that the point spread is irrelevant in the Super Bowl. But, Lou, we're excited about the three winners.
Well, let's start with Indy and Houston. And let me just say this, a blanket statement. I'm an old son of a gun. I'm an old saddle, worn and sore, okay? And traditionally, to me, wild card weekend is when is where home teams go to rout the visiting team. So I got that in one side of a compartment in my brain. And then on the other side of the compartment of my brain, I look at these point spreads on this game, and I see Houston opens at 2.5 or 3. They're down to 1.5. I see Dallas opens up at 2.5 or 3. They're down to 1.5 or 1. Baltimore hasn't moved, and Chicago's 6, open 6. It's 5.5. Here's the greatest warning I can give you. When the public starts to jump on underdogs, be wary. But when the public starts to jump on underdogs in wild card weekend, be scared. And consequently, I don't know. I do like Indianapolis as a very balanced, capable team. But Houston's getting totally disrespected. Let's be nice and quiet until that game kicks off and we can get Houston at plus 100 or maybe a minus 110 on the money line. Again, this is another home-away dichotomy where Houston is pretty damn good at home and Indy's been tepid on the road, though they've been hot lately. Next game, we're going to go to Seattle and Dallas. And everybody's intoxicated with the quarterback for Seattle, Russell Wilson, and they should be because the guy's simply one of the best to ever do it, I think. But he's all they got. And, yeah, everybody wants to rant and rave about that Seattle run game, but let's look at some of the defenses they've played. And the Dallas defense far exceeds anything they've seen, I think, all year long. The Seattle rushing game is ranked 8th against the third-ranked rushing defense for Dallas. And I think if you can make Seattle a semi-one-dimensional team, they're not going to be as successful. They've been beating everybody up with that run game, and Dallas is going to stop that run game. Again, Dallas opens up 2.5 or 3, and by game time, you're probably going to be able to get them close to a pick 'em. So, I'm on the home team there. And then last but not least, the best one of the bunch to me is Baltimore, and I'm going to lay the 2.5 at home. Without any reservation whatsoever, this is a bad spot for the Chargers. These two teams saw each other one time when the spot was bad for Baltimore. Happened to fly all the way across the country on a short week against a Charger team that had 10 days off after beating Kansas City and arriving into that game with a lot of confidence. And Baltimore went in there with a good defense and played football. I like Harbaugh. I like what Baltimore is doing. Again, another team that's totally getting spit in the face and disrespected. And those are my three, the first three home teams, Houston, Dallas, Baltimore.
Wow.
I got to be honest with you, Gabe, as a Seahawk fan.
Gabe sounds like someone's on a jury that just heard like a whole lot of evidence. He's like, whoa.
Yeah,
wow,
it's true. And
I got to convene back in for lunch and go over all this.
I'm going to tell you something, Gabe, as a Seahawk fan, I have to tease this game. I'm with Lou. I think the best game on Seattle, Gabe, I know they look good against Kansas City and whatever, but I'm just telling you, man, Dallas in that park. Also, revenge. Seattle beat them earlier in the year when it was in Seattle when Dallas wasn't looking very good. And they're a whole different team now since acquiring Amari Cooper. I'm a Seahawk fan, but I'm also a realist. The only other one, I kind of lean Houston with you there, Lou. give me three with the Chargers in a revenge spot, I kind of think. But I like where Lou's going. Like, basically, Gabe, what does he say then? Like, all small favorites and all home teams. If you like the Bears, Ravens, Cowboys, and Texans. All home, all very, very small favorites, except for the Bears at six. You're looking at 1, 1.5, 2.5. What are you going to do? What do you like, Morenci?
Well, I'm looking, it's funny. I actually feel very differently about these games. I think it's a good spot for the Chargers. I don't think the Chargers are a great home
team.
That's
the game I'm looking at. That's the game I'm looking at, too, for taking the
Yeah, I don't think the Chargers are a great home team. And they did. Listen, I was on Baltimore that night. So I was on the Ravens that night, guys. But I almost like the fact that it's a revenge spot for the Chargers. You know, the Chargers weren't on their A game that night. Wasn't that the night, too? Didn't Keenan Allen get hurt?
Was that
the game that he got hurt?
No, he played against Baltimore, but was hurt against Kansas City. He was limited. He was limited in that
Okay,
game.
All right. Yeah. But you know what? The Chargers are just better on the road than they are at home. And I'm a Lamar Jackson believer, too, and I back Lamar Jackson. But I don't know if he's going to be able to do enough here to just run the ball. You know, they're so one-dimensional, Baltimore's offense right now. It's going to come down to, can the Chargers shut this kid down from running around? Because he's not going to be able to beat him throwing the football. And they know this. The Chargers also, even though they didn't do it that night, they should, Lou, with their, you know, they have the best pass rushers in the NFL, amongst the best edge pass rushers in the league. They should be able to box Lamar in and force him to throw the football a little bit more in this matchup. Now, I don't want to, you know, compare apples and oranges here, but I talked about this on the morning show today too, guys, in which rookie quarterbacks are 2-7 in playoff games. So the last 9 times a rookie started a playoff game, he's only won twice. And I should mention the 2 playoff wins for the quarterbacks were against other rookie quarterbacks. So 0-7 when a rookie is playing against someone that's not a rookie in the playoffs. I think that's something it's hard to overlook. Baltimore were lucky, guys. Cleveland should have beat them last week. And I don't know. It's like Greg Williams sort of let Baltimore in by not trying a 57-yard field goal. Maybe he didn't think his kicker could do it, but they would have had a better chance doing that than going for it on the 4th-and-10 like it was. And you saw Williams after say to him, you could read lips, you could see, he goes, I wasn't going to kick the ball. Whatever the hell that meant. You know, he didn't say, like I said, Baltimore are freaking lucky they didn't get knocked out last week against Cleveland. And I watched that game. That's the game I watched it, and that was the one game that I really focused in on last week. And I saw Cleveland go up and down the field on Baltimore. I think the Chargers are going to be able to move the football, guys. I wish I was getting more points, but I actually lean with the Bolts in that game.
That's the one.
Yeah, if I can just add one thing, is the one thing that I've learned long ago is poor offensive lines don't travel. And in the first game against Baltimore, Phillip Rivers was besieged with pressure from that front four. The Baltimore defense is nothing to sneeze at. For the last 5 or 6 weeks, the Charger offensive line has been, I don't want to say terrible, but not good. You and I can bet a beer on this one, but I'm a strong Baltimore Raven fan this week.
Lou, gamblew.com. God bless you, Lou. Always a pleasure. Thanks
Love
for
you,
your
Lou.
Time.
Good luck, everybody. Thanks so much, you guys.
There's Lou, gamblew.com. Always a pleasure with Lou.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Game Time Decisions, Red Heat Rage Radio. Look at Cam. Did you see the Bevo, the Longhorn mascot?
Oh, yeah.
Really,
with Ugga?
Trap all the little bulldog Ugga.
I know. Ugga, I would say, my girlfriend's like, what the hell's going on before the game, right? She knows nothing about football. I'm like, that's the Texas Longhorns. Oh, no, look at the dog there. I loved it. Yeah, it was a very, very prolific game. It was great foreshadowing with the Longhorns.
Yeah, it was actually a thing to come. Exactly. Yeah. It was getting, yeah, the Longhorns weren't playing around. But the handler actually says that Bevo wasn't going to, like, kill the dog or anything. He said he got excited. He saw the dog, and he just sort of
exactly. He didn't want to hurt the dog. He's also a Longhorn. Like, that's the thing. Like, you bring in these live mascots, they're not plush toys. Like, they're not stuffed bears on your bed. There, like, they're living, breathing animals. He's a Longhorn. He sees a dog. Like, things are going to happen, Gabe, when you let animals loose. That's why they're animals.
No,
right?
It's and I brought this up today, actually, this morning. Like, I don't know if you saw it during the Notre Dame Clemson game. They let an eagle fly through the stadium after the anthem, except the eagle took off. Like, it didn't come back.
Oh, amazing.
Like, it landed, like, it got freaked out, and it landed, like, on a fan's head.
Oh, really? Those talons can go right through your skull. It's actually pretty crazy. I know.
And then and then it took off because the guy sort of freaked out, so the eagle then landed. A Notre Dame fan stuck his arm out. The bird landed. Yeah, landed on his arm after.
Awesome.
Yeah, man, but it was a big bird, man. It was
eagles, man. Oh, yeah, eagles kill things. Remember when an eagle looks like they go in and look over the field?
Dude,
like,
imagine if an eagle landed on your shoulder in a football game and just started, like, attacking your head, dude. Like, it'd be a bad time, dude.
No, you could die. I'd shit my pants first, and then I'd be half dead because I'd be intoxicated.
Imagine if he clipped his beak onto your nose or something.
Yeah, you'd lose half your nose.
Imagine the pain. Exactly. Yeah. He'd just rip it off.
He'd actually probably, if he got a soft nose, like my
would sue the hell out of the NCAA, man.
Oh, yeah. War Eagle?
I swear to God, if I got attacked by an eagle at a football game, at a college football game.
Plaintiff, defendant, War
O'Bannon.
Eagle.
Yeah. Ed O'Bannon might not have been able to take the NCAA down, but I would.
You're right, though. Like, and that's another thing. Like, the Auburn War Eagle and stuff, like, I guess it's by, like, the trainer or whatever, so they have, like, a routine. Like, was this just some random... like, was it part of the act?
No.
Like,
they have a trained guy. Exactly. So the eagle normally will fly around and then look back and say, all right, there's my buddy, and he'll go land there, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're trained to do this,
except,
like you stated, they're animals.
I know.
There's 80,000 people. You got bands playing. There's lights everywhere. Like, the eagle got freaked out and took off. You know what I mean? Like, that's another thing, too. The eagle maybe can't see the handler, right? Because of the white lights and everything.
Good point. It's a total crazy environment, too. Different venues, different stuff.
Exactly. It's one thing to practice it outdoors with him on your farm or whatever. Yeah, he's going to come back. But,
buddy, I watched horse racing.
You're doing it in a football stadium with 90,000 people. You don't know how he's going to react. I brought that up. There's a reason why some horses have blinkers. They don't like the crowd. They don't want to see
that
stuff.
No. Blinkers are good because the thing about horses is I was watching a race at Gulfstream. And the horse in his first start, he was crushing it. Then he saw shadows. He freaked out and banged into the rail. And then after banged into the rail, he freaked out even more. That's the thing. Like, you said it, Morenci, man. It's not a simple thing. Like, a lot of the time, animals are animals.
That happened
right?
to our horse. That happened to Conflict Diamond. Yeah. He actually injured himself once. I asked what happened. I said, what do you mean? They said, well, he sort of pulled something training. I said, what happened? They said he scared himself. He saw his own shadow. And I guess horses really don't like their own shadow.
No, they don't. They don't. And it's moving,
too.
So he sort of took off from
his own shadow. Yeah, and he took a misstep because he saw his own shadow. Like you said, horses don't like to see their own shadows. It freaks them out.
Why do you think, too, like when you're watching a horse race, Gabe, you know what I mean? Like, very few horses, when they get close to the rail, will do well. Like, you don't want to be that, like, 1 foot there because once they see it and they see metal – at the way they run, their first instinct is, I don't want to be near this thing. So they'll cut, they'll go on diagonals, boom, and then that's when you get the jockeys falling off and you get natural disasters. You want to be like two or three inside to have some room, but it's amazing. You're right. I'm actually watching a lot of horse racing. More and more horse racing, a lot of horses are wearing blinkers just because of that, especially at those tracks where it's really, like, you know, the West Coast tracks. Think about the football game last night, and you know, you've lived in the West Coast, the shadows. Like, you see the shadows at the Rose Bowl, the game's in sun. Sometimes you're throwing at the ball, Dodger games. You talk about it. Boom, ball in sun, ball in darkness. And you watched, I watched that whole game change. I'm like, wow, it's light to dark, now it's very dark. Like, it's got to be pretty crazy as a receiver when you're looking up in the air and you see a ball, then you don't see a ball. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, it is. Yeah, the Rose Bowl is a real challenge.
It sure is.
It's a good point. It starts in like bright sun, and then you got like weird sun in your eyes, like shadows everywhere. Then next thing you know, you're playing at nighttime. It's dark. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
the lights,
it's weird.
You got to deal with the lights. It's a good point. Different environments. Yeah, Dodger Stadium is really like there's certain start times. Like they're, yeah, like when they play at like 4 o'clock, when they have like sometimes they do these 3:05 games and stuff. It's insane. It's the way their stadium is and the mountain behind it and stuff. They, like you said, man, so it'll be bright. Like the sun will be shining in the outfield, but there'll be like a shadow in the infield. And it's disconcerting. You got Clayton Kershaw throwing at 96 miles an hour at you from 60 feet away, and it's dark, but it's bright on the other side. It's hard for the eye. Like, you know, there's a reason why there's no, like, you can't have any backdrop in the outfield, basically. You know what I mean? Like, there's a few stadiums that have had even, like, billboards and stuff, and players are like, you can't have that there. Like yeah, it's anything white. Like, you know, like, some places they've had white stuff in the back in the outfield, and you can't see the damn ball, right? So, like, yeah, the site, you know, people don't really think about the little things like that, but yeah, I'm looking forward to betting on some baseball, man. Baseball's pretty much around the corner, actually.
Sure. Pitcher. Wait, time's flying. We're in January, buddy. Pitchers and catchers report in a few weeks, right?
Probably real soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at least, like, the pre-reporting type of thing.
Yeah.
Harper and Machado still haven't signed either.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. Like,
I said this about both of them. Both these guys want monster money and stuff. And everyone always says these. They always say the same thing about these players. Oh my God, everyone's going to be after them.
It's no,
like,
they're not.
They're not. When you make that, when you want that much money, like you discount basically 75% of the teams in the league. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you don't have the leverage you think you do. You know, are the Pittsburgh Pirates? They're not bidding. Kansas City Royals aren't in. Cleveland Indians aren't in. Baltimore Orioles aren't in. You know what I mean? Like, you go down the list, it's like, all right, you got to hope the Cubs are in or the Dodgers are in or the Yankees are in. And then you look, the Red Sox aren't in. The Red Sox are actually, the Red Sox supposedly told their guys, listen, we can't be crazy like this all the time. We got to try to tighten things up a little bit, which kind of weird because they just won. But supposedly the Red Sox aren't in, like, we're not going crazy mode. So then it's basically, it looks to me right now like the Dodgers, the Yankees are sort of playing, waiting it out. And they're just going to be able to say, look, if you would have gotten a better offer than this, you've already would have taken it.
Exactly.
And they're not going to say that to Harper's face, but they're going to know this. They're going to know, right? They're going to say, listen, guy wanted $500 million. That was never happening. He really wanted $350 million. That ain't happening. Let's give him a call now. It's been a month. Reality's settling in for him right now. And then you just tell him, you really want to go to Philadelphia? You know what I mean? We'll give you the money right now. But I'm hearing from the Yankees is they're not going to do it. Like, there's something about Harper that rubs people the wrong way.
It, like, rubs me.
Not everyone loves him.
I don't.
You know what I mean? Not every GM thinks, oh, he's my savior. A lot of people think that he's sort of a selfish guy, which I don't really know if it matters. Like, I'm sort of torn on that. Like, you know, like, if you read, GMs have often talked about Harper the last year. And, you know, some guys say there's no way in hell they would have him on his team, that he's really just a stat guy. He's about him. Look at Washington. Washington never won with him. And it's true. Washington never did win with him. And then other people say, you know, it really doesn't matter what his personality is, that he puts up big numbers, and baseball's a stat game, right? He's going to give you 30, 35 home runs. He's going to play decent. You know what I mean? He plays hard, and he's not like a big, big jerk. So I don't really know what the rub on him is, but it doesn't seem like there's a million teams offering him the money right now. And Machado is a similar situation where, supposedly, Philadelphia has been the most aggressive with both
of them. Yeah, that's the thing.
Like, Philadelphia isn't playing around. Like, they really have money, they want to spend it, and they're trying to win. But supposedly Machado and Harper are both sort of like, man, if I have to, I'll go to Philadelphia, but I'm hoping the Yankees or the Dodgers or somebody come to me. You know what I mean? Like, something
more. It's very true.
glamorous, but right? So
when you look,
supposedly
when
Manny
you look,
Machado was less than enthusiastic about it, but he wants the money.
Well, listen, but Gabe, and another thing about those two guys, yes, they're better than average players, but I look at it like Mike Trout and everybody else, and the amount of money that they want, it's not going to happen that way. So teams aren't going to pay up for these guys, and they're basically going to call their bluff. And eventually, you know, they're going to sign somewhere, but not for the money that they think they're going to make. I agree with you absolutely in that. Both of those players, too, despite being amazing hitters, can go through streaks and bad streaks. Unlike Mike Trout, to me, it's
well, that's
like
the thing too.
Him,
you're a good point.
Him and everybody
you give them
else.
That much money.
They
you give either of them that much
player.
Money. Yeah, you're building your franchise around them. You can't just say, "Oh, wow, we gave Harper $300 million to be
and
role player." You know what I mean? Like,
correct.
And that's the thing: is he the guy that you're like, "All right, he's going to lead us. He's going to carry us now." I don't know. I don't think so. You know what I mean? Like, to me, he's better off on the Dodgers. Like, if I'm Harper, guys need to know themselves. And if you're, dude, if you're Bryce Harper, if I was his agent, I'd say, listen, Philadelphia is offering you $5 million a year more. Number one, have you ever seen what a Philadelphia fan is like, Bryce? You're not in Washington anymore, all right? They're going to turn on you fast unless you deliver. And number two, you're on the Phillies. So they're going to expect the World Series. They don't get it. It's going to be your fault. And it's going to be a lot of negativity around you. And the media is going to be up your ass, dude, like in Philadelphia. You go to the Dodgers, whatever. The media will pick on Clayton Kershaw. You know what I mean? Like, it'll all, Kershaw didn't win. And it's not really malicious out there with Los Angeles. It's not the same as the East Coast.
No.
Like, I don't think Harper would be able to handle playing for the Yankees because of the negativity that comes if things don't go well. I mean, look, they booed Stanton in the first game, right?
That's right. I know. Yeah, 0-for-5, boo. That's the thing.
Yeah,
and I'll
exactly.
tell you something. Giancarlo Stanton, too, and we know that he eventually came around, but still, he has thicker skin than Bryce Harper. That's very true. And so it's one of those things that
exactly.
I could see Harper like turning on a New York media guy, telling him, giving him the F-bomb or the bird and saying, you know, screw this, and just making it worse for himself. It's actually crazy, Gabe. You bring up a good point. Sometimes the grass is not always greener on the other side. You have to appreciate what you got. And I don't think both of those
well,
players
I think Harper
are the same franchises. They're both very
Harper
good.
Harper wanted to be
franchise.
On the Cubs. He wanted to be on the Cubs.
Yes.
Like, he's buddies with guys on the Cubs.
Yes.
And, you know, what's his name? Rizzo's from Vegas. Yep.
Yes, he is.
And, and you know, I've all – that's the thing. Bryce Harper's a Vegas guy. And he's very Vegas-ish. Like, you know, that's who he is. I mean, he's a pretty West Coast-type dude, man. So, I don't really understand, like, if I'm him, I really don't understand why you just don't sign with the L.A. Dodgers. The closest city to Las Vegas, you know, you'll have a chance to win. You'll be on the West Coast. The pressure isn't the same. There is pressure being on the Dodgers, but it's not the same as being on the Yankees. It's not the same as being on the Phillies if you take all their money. Like, the fan base is going to expect a lot. Machado's another story where, you know, same thing. There's a lot of managers that would just don't want to deal with Machado, right? But the thing is, he's pretty freaking good.
He is.
You
he
know,
is.
So
he's very,
amazing,
very
though,
good.
These two dudes still out there. The White Sox might get Harper, Ken. As crazy as it sounds. Like, the White Sox have a ton of money, and supposedly they offered it to him. So it might be one of these deals where he's like, well,
you go to Chicago, just not
$8 million. Yeah, they offer me $30 million a year. L.A. only want to give me $22 million a year. Screw L.A., I'm going to Chicago, right? You really don't know how these guys are going to think.
Well, that's the thing.
They're going to have to make up their mind soon, though. Like, the season's around the corner.
Do you want to be a team that just, with Bryce Harper, like, I don't think he's going to put the White Sox over the top. They'll be a little bit better. They do have a young talent, Juan Moncada, and a couple of these other guys, Gabe. But you look at it, the pitching prospect that they have, he got hurt at the end of the year when he was on fire. Like, this team has a long way to go. Trust me. I took the wins over. Remember that at the start of the year? Like, they're not there yet. But if you want to play for, like, more money, a team like that will offer you the money. I think it's teams like the Yankees and Dodgers are actually going to go, screw it. We're already very, very good. We're not going to overpay for you. You get what we offer, or we're just going to say no. They're going to stand pat, stand firm.
Well, here's a report right now to Washington. It just came out, actually, now. I just sort of punched in, all right, Bryce Harper. There's all kinds of stories popping up. That he actually met with the owner of the Nationals at Christmas time. Christmas Eve, he had a five-hour meeting with the owner of the Nationals.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not leaving, right? Now they're saying here 7 hours ago, NBC Sports, Phillies plan to meet with Bryce Harper even as they wait Manny Machado's decision. And here's latest on the White Sox pursuit. Earlier today, ESPN Jess Passan reported the White Sox were willing to give Bryce Harper a contract of 10 years.
10 years guaranteed, too. Guaranteed years.
Yeah. And it says, so are the Phillies. The White Sox are only willing to give Harper and Manny Machado a maximum of 7 years, other people are stating. According to high-ranking sources, the White Sox have offered him a 7-year deal. And that the White Sox aren't, they don't do 10-year deals, but they will do a 7-year deal. Yeah, I think it comes down to the money more than the years, really. If they, you know, if they offer a whack of money. I don't know. If you're Harper, I mean, Philadelphia will have a chance to win. Philadelphia will have a loaded roster. Philadelphia are pretty good already. You know, they got Harper.
Look at the pitching they got, too. Nolan's going to have another year under his belt. Like, they're very, very close. And another thing with Philadelphia, sure, the Braves had a good year with Acuna Jr.
Yeah,
and all these other guys that they have. But that's the thing. You can make a huge, huge jump in that division because it's weak. And I love the Phillies pitching. They're a very intriguing team. Like, you, if somebody offered you money in Philly, but you said it, Gabe, you have to have the right mindset. You can't – the fans will turn on you. You think New York fans will turn on you quick? Philadelphia fans will bury you. So you got to have thick skin.
Yeah, I just – I don't think that it's a good place for him personally. I think Machado can handle it.
The West Coast, yeah. Your Bryce Harper seems more of a West Coast dude. You're right. Like, go to the West. That's your
thing. But it's not like I said, it's not like San Francisco. I don't see San Francisco offering the big money.
They have not. No.
The Dodgers, the Dodgers reportedly are interested, but they said, let's just wait and see how this plays out. Right? Like they're not like, oh, we're desperate. We, you know what I mean? Like I said, I think the Dodgers are sort of playing the market. I'm going to say, hey, you really want to go to the White Sox, bro? You know what I mean? I think the Dodgers are just sort of waiting this one out here.
Yeah.
Look, the Dodgers just cleared a lot of room and a lot of money. So they have something up their sleeve. All right, we'll hit some DFS on the other side here.
Yep, got a golf lineup, Gabe. Golf's back. Four.
Did it ever go away?